We are running a series all through the month of May, looking at the work of the Holy Spirit, and I'm looking today at something that was probably fundamental before we look at the other ones, but we can't do it in order because we're preaching in different places. So we've been looking at the Holy Spirit and tongues and prophecy, and I'm today looking at probably the first bit, which is the Holy Spirit and assurance of salvation. So I want to ask you a question, first of all. This is a question that my old pastor, or our old pastor, used to ask to everybody and was a real nuisance about it. He used to come up to people and he'd say, "How do you know you're a Christian? How do you know you're saved?" And he'd say it all the time. All the time. "How do you know you're a Christian? How do you know you're going to inherit eternal life?" And that's probably a much easier question to ask than to answer. And yet, it's fundamental, really, to the Christian life. It's fundamental to say, well, how else are you going to give your life as a Christian disciple to following after Jesus unless you can be absolutely certain of your eternal destination? How are you going to do that? How are you going to give your life? How are you going to suffer and die in persecution, as many of those places we've been looking at today? Oh, have I gone to that? Have to do, unless you can be totally certain of your eternal destiny. If you think you might be a Christian, if you think you might be saved, if you think you might get to go to heaven when you die, then I think that's not going to drive you and hold you in the most difficult and challenging of circumstances. So the question I want to ask today really is, am I a Christian? Am I really a Christian? Am I going to inherit eternal life when I die? I was joking with Becky earlier because she was persuading me that I needed to go to the doctor. I was saying, well, all my family keeps telling me that. And she says, they care. They'd care. And I said, yeah, I know, but I might die. And she said, well, they care about that. I said, yeah, but I don't. I get to go to heaven. But that's not very caring of the people you'll leave behind, is it? I said, well, I know, but I'm all right. The question is, are you? Well, a bit heavy, Andrew. But are you? You're going to die. Let's be honest.
Yes.
Are you? Are you sure? Are you certain? Well, the question is, therefore, how can I be sure? How can I be certain? And that, I would argue, is the role of the Holy Spirit. He will confirm to you that you're one day going to be welcomed into the arms of a loving Father. So let's have a look at the verse that I flicked up just now. This is Ephesians 1, and it's a quick bit of verse 11, then we're going to verse 13. And in Ephesians 1, verse 11, Paul, who is a Jew, is saying, in him we, that's the Jews that are Christians, have obtained an inheritance. Then he goes on to talk to the non-Jews. And he says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So there we are. You have a guarantee. You have a guarantee. Or do you? Or do you? Right, a quick aside, because we've done some Bible reading, so we're now going to play a game. Okay, we're going to play a game of Simon Says. We like the games of Simon Says, because Simon Says, he likes the game of Simon Says. So here we are. Simon Says, raise up your right hand. Simon Says, raise up your left hand. Simon Says, put your right hand down. Simon, you're getting confused, aren't you? Simon Says, put up your left hand. Brilliant. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so that is... got ya. Simon Says, you can put your hand down. And Simon Says, we'll stop playing that game now and go on to the preach. Right. Now, how many of you were thinking, which is my right, which is my left? And how many of you just put your right up and put your left up? Yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute.
Back to the text. In him you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You were sealed. So what is a sealing? What does that even mean? It's a thing that happened. A sealing essentially is a thing that authenticates authority. So a bit of paper is sealed and with wax, and when it's sealed with wax, it marks this is authentic. This is for real. You got that? Stop working. There we are. A cow is branded and sealed, and it marks ownership. This is a practice that went back to at least 2700 BC. So therefore, it was current in Paul's day when he's writing this letter. And then finally, a seal provides security. So sealing authenticates with authority, it marks ownership, and it provides security. So seal, if something is sealed, you're not meant to open it and break the seal and go in. Of course, the tomb was one day sealed, but seals don't work if you open them from the inside. Okay, so back to Ephesians. It says here, when you believed, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You believed, you put down your seal. Yeah, I believe. And then Paul is saying, having believed, God marked you with his seal. So sealing is more, I would argue, than just the application of logic, because it's visible, it's real, it's an event. In that sense, it's experiential. It's something you experience. The sealing of the Holy Spirit is not just a simple persuasion from the scriptures. It's also an experience that you undergo. So let me explain that. As a young boy, became a Christian when I was 5-6 years old or something like that, I believed in Jesus. I believed that I was a child of God because the Bible tells me so. We used to sing a song, Jesus loves me, yes I know, for the Bible tells me so. I believed it. I believed I was joined to Christ because the Bible tells me so. But I still had many doubts. I still had many doubts. Then one day, the Holy Spirit came upon me with his sealing. He authenticated the fact of my salvation, and I was changed, and I'll talk to you about that in just a minute. I want to ask you the question, how do you know you're a Christian? We've done that, but have you been sealed with the Holy Spirit? Have you been sealed with the Holy Spirit? And if so, where's my pictures? Can you bring my pictures back up? This thing isn't working, only works sometimes. There we are. Back, that one, brilliant. If so, when and how was that seal applied? I think it's an interesting and an important question. So we're going to look at the Bible and not Andrew's personal experience, although that's helpful, obviously. We're going to look at the Bible and see if we can understand what actually happens. So we're going to go to the book of Acts, and from the following examples that I'm going to give you from throughout the book of Acts, the early days of the church, we're going to see how the seal of the Holy Spirit was applied on individuals. And we're going to see that it was applied after they believed. Often it was applied after they were baptized, and sometimes it was applied after hands were laid upon him. So let's go back. Let me just flick this thing. I'm losing control. Yeah, I think if you could just pop that, I think it's getting, the signal's getting blocked by the power thing. That, yeah. Right. So first of all, we'll start with the disciples. The disciples, you remember, had met the risen Jesus. And as they met him, they believed in him. So Thomas, when he finally met him and touched his wounds and all the rest of it, he said, "My Lord and my God." He professed, "I believe. I believe." And they were told, wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus left them. And at Pentecost, a little while later, the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. And they went into the streets in such a state of praise and ecstatic joy that Peter had to get up and say to the crowd, "These men are not drunk like you suppose, because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. This is the Holy Spirit poured out. This is the result of the sealing." Go into Acts chapter 8. You now get Philip. Philip is talking to some Samaritans, some guys in Samaria. And it says here, it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he proclaimed to them the Christ. He told them about Jesus. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Both men and women, they were baptized as believers. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For it had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. And they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So you see that verse 12? They believe, they're baptized as believers. Philip's done that. Verse 16, Peter and John come along and a bit later and they pray and they receive the Holy Spirit. They receive this sealing. Go forward another chapter. Chapter 9, you get Saul, who becomes Paul. Now, he's converted, as you know, or maybe you don't. He's on the road to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus appears to him. And he's converted. He becomes a believer in Jesus. And yet it's 3 days later that Ananias went in fear to the house where Paul was now staying. And it says this in chapter 9. And Ananias, laying his hands on Paul, he said to him, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So he comes along and he's sealed with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 15, Peter is talking about the experience that he'd had preaching to Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, and he was the first kind of non-Jew, really, to believe in Jesus. And Peter recounts the story of how his word led Cornelius to believe in Jesus. And then he says the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he's always received the Spirit the same way we have. So the Holy Spirit kind of authenticated that salvation in Jesus was for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews, because he received the Holy Spirit just like Peter and the gang had at Pentecost. In chapter 19, you can go to Ephesus. And in Ephesus, Paul meets some new believers. And he says to these new believers, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And then they had this conversation where it's clear that they didn't really know who the Holy Spirit was. And so then Paul baptizes them as believers in Jesus. And then it says, when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. So Paul laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit after they'd been baptized. So this sealing is the assurance, as it were, of your salvation. And it's promised to you personally by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that means, I think, if you look at those examples, I think you can be a Christian and not know the sealing. In all those cases, they were Christians, they were baptized often, and then the Holy Spirit comes later. Even in Jesus' case himself, the Holy Spirit came upon him after he was baptized. Which is always confusing, but there we are, it happened. You can, thank you so much, you can, and I think absolutely should, know that you have received the Holy Spirit in this experiential way. And I would argue that then you're able to fully engage into the fullness of the life that Christ has for you in God. Because it's this sealing that becomes the guarantee of your inheritance and that draws you into the fullness of the Trinitarian God. So those Acts situations I've just looked at, in each case, they had each had a very real experience of meeting with the Holy Spirit. They could testify it. They could tell you it was that day. It was the day that Ananias laid hands on me. It was the day that Peter came along after we'd been baptized and laid hands on us. It was the day that Paul baptized us and then laid hands on us. They could testify. That's what happened, and that's what happened then. So let me give you my testimony. My story. So we've got to go back now 50 years. Wow, I know. So August 1976, the month of my 12th birthday. And surprisingly enough, it wasn't even in black and white. Anyway, it was 50 years ago, the month of my 12th birthday, I'm on a boys' camp. And on this boys' camp, it's in Somerset, and it's very, very old-fashioned. So here we are. This is me. Which one's me? Oh, him. Him. That's me. 12-year-old me with my mates outside a proper bell tent in Somerset. And in this old-fashioned bell tent, camp, we have evening meetings. And they are as dire as that looks, quite frankly. So here we are. This is me with a particularly good shirt on. I have no idea why anybody would want to wear flamboyant shirts, but there we are. That's my favourite polyester shirt. And we ate in this tent thing back here, which, oh, shouldn't do that, should I? I'm going the wrong way. Bing, bing. Right, we ate in this tent thing back here, and we sat on these wooden benches. And in that tent there, that was the meeting place. And it was full of these wooden benches. And we sat there and we were having this kind of meeting. Me and my mates. And I'm meeting with God. It's cold, it's wet, it's everything you imagine it's going to be. And I'm meeting, and then suddenly I felt something I've never experienced before. And I just started weeping. Now look, you don't want to be a 12-year-old boy in a boys' camp in a meeting crying. That is not cool. That shirt is, but that's not. And I'm crying. And I'm thinking, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. He's my father. He's lovely. And I couldn't cope with this. And I left the meeting. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. It's so good. I love Jesus so much. He's my father. I love him. It's wonderful. And I've got no idea what's going on. Really got no idea what's going on. What was that? And so I said to my leader the next day, well, in fact, that evening, he stuck his head in the head, right? Everybody go to bed. And he's like, no, I understand. I'm so happy. And he said, oh, come and talk to me in the morning. So the next day I went and we sat outside his tent, and he said that was the power of the Holy Spirit telling you of God's love, sealing you. He didn't use the word sealing because I wouldn't have understood it. And it changed my life forever. I've had no more doubt for 50 years. I've had no more doubt. You can say to me, Andrew, if you don't go to the doctor, you'll die. And I'll say, good. And they say, no, you mustn't think like that. I've had no more doubt. Because God sealed me with his Holy Spirit. That's my experience. Now, let's do this biblically, very quickly, so that you don't think I'm just making this up. What was going on biblically? Nothing, apparently. I've just pushed the black screen, yeah. I would just like to say that now I've got rid of it. This is Janice's and it doesn't work very well. But it does. It's my fault, I know. But I used the one here and it works even less. Right, thank you. Biblically, Romans 8, you've received the spirit of adoption of sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. That's part of what was going on. He's saying, your spirit, my spirit, together. Abba, Father. Oh, wow, yes, I'm known, I'm an heir. Galatians, because you are sons, or sons and daughters, if you use a proper translation, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and a son, then an heir through God. Wow, yes, I know forever. I'm a child of God, and I'm going to be with him for all of eternity. This is wonderful. Abba, Father, I love you. Because you're my daddy, for want of a better phrase. You're not just this formal father. Romans 5. We know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That's what happened. My heart was filled with his love. Or 1 Peter, though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Inexpressible joy, that's what I had. Inexpressible joy. My heart filled with his love. One of the translations puts it as his love is poured into your heart. No wonder I cried. I'm only 12. I don't know what's going on. And God pours his love into my heart.
with inexpressible joy.
I thought, as I'm here, and you like a good quote, I'd prove to you this isn't a 21st century, or 20th century as that would have been, of course, sorry, I forgot that, kind of, you know, feely-touchy thing. And this is real. So this is a man called Dr. Richard Sibbes. Now, he lived 1577 to 1635, apparently. So we're talking Shakespeare. We're talking the end of Elizabeth I's reign and into James the whatever his name was. Yeah, but when you're James something or other, Scotland. Sixth of Scotland, thank you, James I of England. Uniting England and Scotland into the Union. This is the period we're in. He does not look like a man much given to emotionalism to me. He looks like a man who understands by living in the days of Elizabeth and the Puritans. And he described the difference between becoming a Christian and being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And he describes it like this. It is like a child who has been a little mischievous and disobedient, who has a sense of guilt and is unhappy, and who keeps running back to his father. And the father received him, but does not smile much at him. And the child keeps running back and gets a certain satisfaction when he is with his father. And this may go on for some time. Then one day, as they are walking along the road together, the child presses near to the father and touches him. And the father looks at him. And after a while, the father takes hold of the child and lifts him up and strokes him in his arms and showers his love upon him. That's the difference between when you've become a Christian and the Holy Spirit sealing you with your love. So that's what he said. I didn't put it quite that eloquently. But it's the same thing. Because of this sealing, because of this baptism in the Holy Spirit, I am certain I'm a child of God. I am certain as I'm sure that when you say, raise your right hand, this is it. I'm not thinking, some of you were, I know, but I'm not thinking, which is my right and which is my left, I don't know. Somehow deeply ingrained in me is right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. Simon didn't say, oh no. But I know right in here. I know. I know God loves me. I know I'm his child. I know I will never, ever, ever walk without him. I know that on the day I die, he will welcome me into his arms. As a loving father, I'll say, well done, Andrew. It's so good to see you. I know that. I don't hope that. I don't think that maybe if I'm good enough, I might. I don't care whether I have a good day or a bad day. I know that God loves me. And I know that because the Holy Spirit has been poured into my life. And his love's been poured upon me. And I can't help but know from time to time with inexpressible joy, Abba, Father, you love me. And you will always love me. It's deeply, deeply ingrained in me. Because one day in August 1976, the Holy Spirit came upon me in the most unlikely of places. And I've known ever since God loves me. I am his child. So then what about you? What about you? Have you been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit? Have you known the reality? Not just been persuaded from Scripture. You need to be persuaded from Scripture. I've tried to persuade you from Scripture. But have you known it? Have you felt His love deep in your heart that's brought to you inexpressible joy? Well, if you have, continue to expect to receive the joy of the Holy Spirit from time to time. Paul says, doesn't he, be filled and go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't just look back on that day 50 years ago. I remember once when I was 12 in a field in Somerset, something happened, and I've been living off that for 50 years. No, I haven't been living off that for 50 years. I sometimes remember it's been going on for 50 years, but it's been going on because I keep on coming back to the Lord. Fill me again. Let me know your touch again. Let me know your life again. If you've never experienced that, but you're a believer in Jesus, the good news is God wants to give you that sealing much more than you want to receive it. In fact, he said, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, of course I'll give him to you. You, as even people, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to his children? He wants to prove to you that you are his child. He wants his Spirit to join with your Spirit, that you can cry, Abba, Father. So we've got 10 minutes left. I want to give us the opportunity to receive this sealing. We can't do anything else without him. We can't do tongues and prophecies and great miracles and all sorts of other stuff unless we have the Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit within us is not a theory. He is a reality. And so as we come and we argue that we are a charismatic, Spirit-filled church, and we talk about the Holy Spirit and the temple and all that stuff, the reality is that has to come from the genuine, joyful experience of the presence of God. That when people come amongst us and say, wow, you've got something, you don't just believe in something, you've got something.